Hello, welcome to your daily briefing, May the 13th, 2018. Let us pray. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you continue day by day to lead us in the path of righteousness. We thank you that you have revealed to us, moment by moment, the events that are taking place around us. We thank you that you continue to strengthen us so that we might stand firm and without conviction otherwise, that we might obey your will. We ask also that you would help us to see the dangers that approach us personally, so that we might stand with you and for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Quite often when we talk about a shift in the world around us, and we warn concerning laws coercing worship, it is usually pointed out to us that there is a nation that keeps the Sabbath, and it would be very difficult to find a way for them to be coerced to change that obligation. What is not often known is that there are moves already being made against Israel. There is an article that is found in The Conscientious Reporter, and that's the name of the website, The Conscious Reporter. And the article that I want to share with you today was published back on March the 14th, 2015. It was written by Matthew Butler, and the title of the article is Spirituality in the New World Order. Is a One World Religious Authority in Formation? Again, the title, Spirituality in the New World Order. Is a One World Religious Authority in Formation? Again, the article was posted by Matthew Butler, and it was published on March the 14th, 2015. Here's the article. Last September, Israel's ex-president Shimon Peres asked Pope Francis to head a future UN of religions. That would be United Nations of Religions, a proposed organization with unquestionable authority to proclaim God's will. Peres argued globalizing faith under a single world authority is required to combat terrorism. In this concept, which has major implications, really about peace, or is there a darker agenda behind it? Now, of course, you heard who the article says made the suggestion to the Pope, ex-President Shimon Peres of Israel, the same Israel that most people believe will be the nation that would make it impossible for there ever to be a global Sunday worship. Continuing the article, for some time now, political and economic decision-making power has devolved away from citizens and the nation-state to global, multilateral organizations. As these organizations shape a new global order favoring corporate and financial elites, local populations have a diminished say in economic decisions affecting them, especially when represented by careerist politicians more aligned to the global elite. Lately, there have been signs of a top-down push for the globalization of religion as well, with calls for global political authority over the world's spirituality. The most obvious drive came last September when former President of Israel, Shimon Peres, met with the Pope to propose the formation of a new UN of religions, which the Pope would head. Peres suggested this organization should wield the unquestionable authority to declare what God does and does not want in order to combat religious extremism. The implications are huge. 84% of the world's population has a spiritual faith of some kind. Together, the Christian, Muslim, Hindu, and Buddhist religions are followed by more than 5.3 billion people and a diverse mix of folks, beliefs, and smaller minority faiths. From Baha'i to Wicca account for almost another 500 million. With spirituality playing a central role in the lives of most of the world's population, it would seem global governance must inevitably take religion into account. Various theories have suggested a one-world religion will emerge as a part of a new world order. Is it possible that powerful people in the global elite desire, if not an actual monolithic world faith, then a global hegemony over the world's spirituality so that religions and their followers can be influenced through a central authority? If so, it would mean a similar model of top-down globalization via multilateral organizations as deployed in politics, economics, and trade would be rolled out to spirituality. But just how noble are the intentions of those vending this idea? Is their rhetoric bona fide? A closer examination suggests such a scheme is highly suspect and part of a broader agenda with ominous implications. Before his September meeting with the Pope to discuss forming a United Nations of Religions, Shimon Peres detailed his ideas in an interview with Italian Catholic magazine Famiglia Cristiana. What is needed is an organization of United Nations, a UN of religions, he said. It would be the best way to combat these terrorists who kill in the name of faith, Peres was quoted. In the past, the majority of wars were motivated by the idea of nationhood. Today, instead, wars are sparked, above all, with the excuse of religion, Peres continued. Global interfaith religious initiatives already exist, such as the United Religions Initiative. But evidently, Peres envisages a more top-down and authoritative organization of United Religions. He was quite blunt about the proposed organization's power. What is needed is an unquestionable moral authority that says in a strong voice, no, God does not want this and does not permit it. He suggested the Pope lead it because he is perhaps the only leader who is truly respected. The Pope was reportedly sympathetic, but made no decision or personal commitment, and it remains to be seen whether this new body materializes. Peres is not the first elite political figure to champion such an approach, however. I have written before about Tony Blair's Faith Foundation, the former UK Prime Minister's charity, which focuses on faith and globalization. In January 2014, Blair wrote a widely published essay stating what his foundation seeks to do. Quote, "The purpose is to change the policy of governments, to start to treat this issue of religious extremism as an issue that is about religion as well as politics, to go to the roots of where a false view of religion is being promulgated, and to make it a major item on the agenda of world leaders to combine effectively to combat it. This is a struggle that is only just beginning." Much like Peres, Blair has argued religious extremism is the prime cause of conflict in the world today, and world leaders must unite to address it. Also, like Peres, he claimed a political authority should have the power to determine which religious views are false. Blair, too, also sought support from the Vatican, which leads the world's largest religious congregation. Moreover, Despite being a recently converted Catholic, Blair was not very successful when he made overtures to the Vatican in 2011, and one prominent Catholic scholar, Professor Mikhail Skoujans, believed the former UK leader had sinister objectives. One of the aims of the Tony Blair Faith Foundation will be that of remaking the major religions, just as his colleague Barack Obama will remake global society. With this purpose, the foundation is in question will try to expand the new rites using the world religions for this end and adapting these for their new duties. The religions will have to be reduced to the same common denominator, which means stripping them of their identity. This project threatens to set back to an age in which political power was ascribed the mission of promoting a religious confession or of changing it. In the case of the Tony Blair Faith Foundation, this is also a matter of promoting one and only one religious confession, which a universal global political power would impose on the entire world. Blair's attempt to change, to claim religious extremism is the root cause of today's global conflict, while at the same time stubbornly justifying his deceptive role in the invasion of Iraq and calling for more direct military intervention in the Middle East, was always going to raise eyebrows. Given his lack of credibility as a peace advocate, it's not surprising to see a different retired world leader lobbying for religious globalization at the Vatican. The recently retired Perez seems a much better fit for the job. While Blair has a hawkish reputation, Perez is considered to have transformed into a dove in his latter years in office, where he appeared mild in comparison to some of his more hard-lined Zionist compatriots. Pope Francis, who has been a PR coup for Church and was named Time Magazine's Man of the Year, also has the credibility and clout to lead such an initiative, a fact Perez seems well aware of. So is this a legitimate initiative to promote peace or something else? Despite their superficial differences, the core arguments Perez and Blair make is the same. Religious extremism is responsible for today's conflict, and a global political authority needs to wield control over religions. While religiously motivated violence, particularly in the Islamic world, is undoubtedly a major problem, this argument is extremely deceptive and duplicitous because it ignores the hidden hand which inflamed this problem and actively works to sustain it. The fact is, the root cause of the explosion of extremist violence in the Middle East has been destructive foreign policies of NATO governments and its allies. The invasion of Iraq, which Blair co-led, was based on outright lies about the country having weapons of mass destruction. The war killed up to 1 million people, destroyed its secular government, military, and infrastructure. The ensuing chaos enabled religious extremists to ravage the region, first as Al-Qaeda in Iraq, who had no presence there before the war, and now via the self-proclaimed ISIS, or Islamic State, formerly known, of course, as ISIS. Though seen as a dove now, Perez also has a checkered past when it comes to promoting world peace, which includes being associated with war crimes and acting as a major architect of Israel's covert nuclear weapons program. It's an open secret that Israel has an undisclosed nuclear WMD stockpile. Israel began its secret nuclear weapons program in the 1950s, stealing nuclear secrets and materials from many countries, including the USA. Hollywood producer Aaron Mishlin boasted that Perez recruited him as an Israeli spy and smuggled in a Tel Aviv nightclub in 1965 for this nuclear program. In the mid-1970s, Israel sought to sell nuclear weapons to apartheid South Africa. Documents obtained by The Guardian and published in 2010 revealed that in 1975, Shimon Peres, then Israel's defense minister, was in direct negotiations with his South African counterpart and offered us to sell the nation nukes in three sizes. Both Blair and Peres have a shady association with weapons of mass destruction. In assessing their calls for religious globalization, purportedly to promote peace, we have to ask ourselves, can we really trust a person who lied about weapons of mass destruction and another who tried to proliferate them? The arguments of Blair and Perez also willfully ignore how the foreign policy of the U.S. government and its allies have fomented Islamic extremism since the 1970s, when the CIA funded and armed the Mujahideen in Afghanistan to draw the Soviets into a proxy war, a tactic which gave rise to the Taliban and Al-Qaeda. In a similar vein, the current foreign policy of the U.S. government and its allies has created ISIS, a fact a retired U.S. general almost admitted in an apparent Freudian slip. After Iraq's military and government were pulverized, NATO later turned its attention to Libya and bombed it into a failed state while backing jihadist rebels to topple Gaddafi. Both countries formerly had a secular government which kept religious extremists at bay. When Libya fell, jihadist fighters and weapons began flooding into Syria, which has a secular regime the U.S. government has also sought to topple. In Libya, ISIS is now being led by a rebel NATO directly backed to overthrow Gaddafi. When ISIS, now calling itself the Islamic State, crossed the Syrian border into Iraq in 2014, the war-torn country was unable to prevent the incursion. In Syria, where a civil war continues to rage, the U.S. government and its allies have been arming and training so-called moderate rebels to overthrow the Assad government, despite these rebels having links to jihadists. Many of these weapons and fighters funded by the U.S. government had ended up in the ranks of ISIS, which also happens to be fighting Assad. There are also recent reports. The Iraqi government arrested U.S. and Israeli military advisors in the country this month for directly aiding Islamic State terrorists there. Such connections between the U.S. government and ISIS are apparent even while the U.S. government is supposed to be fighting ISIS in the Middle East at the same time. It seems a geopolitical double game is being played. There is a pattern here. The regimes threatened by this foreign policy are secular, and bringing war and chaos to them only favors the rise of extremist groups like the Islamic State, whose recruitment is bolstered further by foreign airstrikes or drone attacks, which inevitably kill civilians and cause outrage. At the same time, these extremists accidentally receive the benefits of funding and weapons provided by the U.S. government and its allies. Surely, changing this destructive and self-defeating foreign policy is the first point of order, if reducing global conflict and religious extremism is the objective. But what if that is not the real objective? The pattern of arming and backing extremists and fighting them later has been going on for so long that it's difficult to believe these side effects are purely accidental. Problem? reaction, then solution, describes a process where rulers create a problem, provoking a reaction from the public, who demand something be done about it, which then allows the government to bring in its pre-prepared solution to solve the problem it created. The article that I'm reading from today is found in The Conscious Reporter, published on March the 14th, 2015. And of course, you see that we started out here talking about the fact that ex-president of Israel, Shimon Peres, is asking the Pope to start an organization called the United Nations of Religions. And notice the tool being used here. The extremist Islamic fight in the Middle East. Notice what is happening here. We see here some fights that have been started, and to all appearances, these conflicts are based on religion. The solution that is being suggested is that there be a United Nations of Religions headed by the Pope. Notice Shimon Peres from Israel, Tony Blair from London. They seem to have the same idea. And notice that the person who they think would have the greatest authority where that is concerned is Pope Francis. Now, we've been told that ultimately, in Revelation chapter 13, that the United States of America will ultimately cause the entire world to worship the first beast. But notice that the suggestion has already been made by others, and perhaps others who you would imagine would be the last to make that kind of suggestion. There is nothing that God has said in His Word that will not come true. All that He has said about the past has already come to fruition. And what we see happening around us is the fulfillment of His Word. We must be ready. We must ask God to give us the strength and the courage that is so necessary that we must walk according to His will. Now, I'm sure that if you're a listener to this program, you've heard me refer to something called the Hegelian dialectic, something that that deals with three parts. Let me say that again. The term is the Hegelian dialectic, which deals with the thesis, the antithesis, and the synthesis. Let me say it again. The thesis, the antithesis, and the synthesis. The thesis is one argument. The antithesis is the opposite of the argument. And the synthesis is the compromise that brings the two sides together. Now, this is an argument that has been used to manipulate the thinking of populations. First, the thesis, which presents a particular argument. Then the antithesis, which presents the opposite argument. And ultimately, the synthesis, which brings the two together in a compromise. It is a means of controlling the population. It is a means also of making sure that nobody falls outside of these two positions. Ultimately, when the synthesis is arrived at, everybody says, yes, this is the direction in which we should go. Notice in the article we gave three words also: the problem, the reaction, and the solution. The problem is the problem. The reaction is the provoked action from the public who demands that something be done about it. And the solution is that which is used to solve the problem. In every case and in every manipulation, there are these three elements: the thesis, the first argument, the antithesis, the opposite of the argument, and the synthesis, the compromise of the two, effectively used to bring people together. Notice what is happening here. These conflicts that are based on religion. And now there is a suggestion, a solution. Why not have a United Nations of Religion? Not only is that the solution, the suggested solution, but who is chosen by Shimon Peres to be the leader of this bringing of the religions together? The papacy, the Pope. There could not be a more precise and direct fulfillment of the Word of God than this. You and I must be ready for what has been foretold, so that we might stand with our Lord and Savior. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that day by day you show us the way. We place our trust in you, asking that you would continue to guide us in the path of righteousness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This has been your daily briefing, May the 13th, 2018.